Welcome to Kick-Ass Boomers, giving you the motivation and inspiration you need to make the most of your later years. Whether you're still in the planning stages or you're several years in, we'll share stories from boomers who refuse to act their age and continue to live a life inspired. Let them show you how being old can be new if you know what to do, with your host, Terry Lorbeer.
Hello and welcome to Kick-Ass Boomers. My guest today is Neil Alton. Neil has been a humor columnist for four decades and in two countries, and he is still funny after all these years. He's also a card-carrying member of the baby boomer generation, and now he's making affectionate and hilarious fun of his generation's attempts to keep up, seem younger, and maybe still be around for the launch of the iPhone 211 Pro. His new book, Building a Better Boomer, offers laugh out loud advice for the generation caught between ChatGPT and Betamax VHS. There's tongue-in-cheek guidance on how boomers can better see, hear, eat, exercise, sleep, retire, and even remember better. Building a Better Boomer is not just for those born in the 40s, 50s, or 60s. It's also for all those who have a boomer in their lives. As best-selling author Stephen P. Petro says, this is a book for all boomers and those who care for and love them. Welcome, Neil. How are you today?
I am doing really well, Terry. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. I'm happy to have you because this is a book that speaks to us boomers more than any other book I've ever talked about on the show. So it's perfect. So I have a feeling today's podcast is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to laugh a lot. I love the title and I can totally relate. So tell me, what made you decide to write this book?
So as you noted, I am a writer. I've been a writer and a humor columnist for different newspapers on two different continents, in France and Paris and here in the US. And I would write a column a week, sometimes a column, two columns a week. And I noticed over time that they had a similar theme, a lot of the columns. And the theme was boomers trying to deal with getting older and still wanting to be younger, boomers dealing with technology and calling on their kids to, you know, mom, you know, kids, I don't know how the computer is not working. You know, how do you get the Kindle started? And I realized that all of these columns had that theme in common. And so I started putting them together and then realized that what I could say was this was a way to build a better boomer. All of this information we are all told all the time, how to eat better, how to sleep better, how to retire better. We know all that, but we don't know quite as much about how to make fun of all that. And that was the genesis of the book, of writing all those columns and sort of putting them together and expanding them.
And that's great because now it's all in one spot. Like all your different advice is in one book. So we can just keep referring back to the book when we need to, right?
Absolutely. My wife has told me, I've always thought of the book as a humor book. It is a humor book. I think people who read it will laugh a lot. But there's also a lot of really legitimate advice in the book. You know, advice about sleeping, advice about hearing better, advice about seeing better, advice about what foods to eat. You know, I talk about the difficulties of trying to figure out what are the good foods, what are the less good foods. For instance, lima beans are good, but who wants to eat lima beans, right?
I love lima beans.
You're the one.
I'm the one.
you are the one. We know red wine until very recently. Red wine was supposed to be good for your heart.
Yep.
Now have learned it is not good for your heart. Neither is white wine. I wonder, what about rosé? What do you think?
I think we'll go with rosé for now. I think that's
go
a good
with
idea.
Rosé. I think that's the safest bet.
They can't take it all away from us. Give us a break. We have to have something.
You know, if no one's watching, who'll know?
That's right. Absolutely. So your book has 42 chapters. They're not real long, but there's a lot of good advice. But how did you go about organizing them? Because there's so many different topics.
Slowly. I wanted to set up the book with the general idea of how boomers are different from the generations that came before them. Mm-hmm. My parents' generation, your parents' generation, when they got older, they were very content with being older. They'd sit back in their lazy boy recliner, watch mm-hmm. their black and white TV. You know, they still had 5% off at the supermarket once a week. They were content with being older. They were content with being seniors even before the word seniors was invented, when they were just called old.
Right.
What happened to us is that we're not content with that. We're out there playing pickleball and doing Tai Chi and going to Zumba classes and dealing with technology and going on YouTube. And we were sort of having great difficulty, I think, adjusting to that requirement of being older. And, you know, we were also, you know, I mean, I think we have to face it. We're the generation that, you know, ruined the oceans, polluted the climate, made a hit out of Celebrity Apprentice. we have a lot to answer. And I think the worst thing was during the COVID-19 pandemic, we became the target demographic. And I think a lot of us responded by, I'm going to go out and play pickleball until I have my heart attack. I'm going to go out and do Tai Chi. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to do downward dog if I could figure out how to do upward dog right after it.
That's so funny. So I'm going to throw out some words that's different things from the books. So for instance, if I say eyesight, what would you add to that?
Okay, well, a lot of people I think in our generation are like me. I cheated on the eye exam in elementary school. My last name being in the middle of the alphabet, the kids would go first. They'd look at the chart. I would memorize it. I would go MZVRY, and I would repeat MZVRY. I finally found out years later that's the Croatian word for ophthalmologist. With eyesight, it's important if you're having eyesight problems, particularly when you drive at night. Mm-hmm. Remember, the most important thing is don't drive anywhere near where I'm driving.
Exactly. Stay away from me.
Stay away from me.
So true. And stay at home if you're having trouble seeing at night. Good grief. Don't get out on the road. But many boomers do.
Many boomers continue to. Yep. I have a friend of mine who has a 101-year-old father, and they can't take the keys away from him. He's still driving. So a little piece of advice. Don't drive in the state of Connecticut.
There you go. You know, we finally did take the keys away from my father, and it wasn't easy. It really wasn't, because he loved his freedom. He loved to drive. And his doctor told him it was okay to keep driving. And we said to her, okay, when he has an accident and kills someone, we're telling them you wouldn't take the keys away. Right away, she changed her tune and said, okay, John, you really shouldn't be driving anymore. So, you know, you just put the onus back on them and they'll wise up, because he really wasn't capable. He had the beginnings of dementia, so he was getting confused, didn't know where he was. And you can't be driving, getting confused. Then you start looking around, then you have accidents. So we did finally take his keys away. I think that might have been late 80s, when he was in his late 80s or early 90s. We finally
took
him
away. Now, if my kids try to take my keys away, I'm just going to be sure I have a copy made and I have another key in the other pocket.
But they may take your car then.
Well, that would be a problem.
That would be a problem.
Absolutely.
So what if I threw out the word falling? What comes to mind about
okay.
that?
Well, as you know, falling is among boomers is the main cause of winding up on the floor.
Correct.
You know, and I have great experience falling. I've fallen going upstairs. I have fallen going downstairs. I have fallen going on no stairs at all. And on the at the airports, the escalators that are flat, I've fallen everywhere. So here's some advice about falling. We know that you don't want loose rugs. So tack all your furniture to the wall. You know, get your couch, get some big thumbtacks, tack it to the wall. You know, move your TV stand, you know, put it outside, you know, on the front porch. You know, that way you're not going to bang into things, you're not going to fall.
That's right. It's a good way to think about it. How about a doctor's office patient portal? What do you have to say about that? Oh, I know.
Well, you know, we all have, you know, at a certain age, we have lots and lots of doctors. We have our PCP. We have our ophthalmologist. We have our cardiologist. We have our internist, you know, and all of them, by the way, are much younger than most of my t-shirts. And all of them indeed have patient portals. The idea of the patient portal is very simple. It's to get all the information together and absolutely make certain you can never understand any of it. So when you go to the patient portal and you look at something like test results, they will all be 31.4. Is that good? Is that bad? Is, you know, what does that mean? Is that the good cholesterol or the bad cholesterol or the cholesterol that doesn't count? So patient portals are basically designed to help you make appointments as well. Mm-hmm. You go through the whole process. You make an appointment for, I don't know, May 14th, and you find out the doctor is not there on May 14th. So I do whatever I can to avoid using patient portals, but it's really difficult to avoid them.
It really is. They all push you to look at it and put everything in there, and it's just horrible. But the patient portal is helpful for our children. So if they start wanting to know how I am, I say, okay, this is my code. Go into the portal. Have fun. Read whatever you want. And they do. So
You're a very brave woman.
I am. So how about performing simple tasks? I know sometimes they get more difficult for us as we age. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think the tasks that are most difficult for us are the ones that include technology. Mm-hmm. I think we're fine. Most of us boomers are really good with the things we know to do. So we can be on a Zoom together, you and I, because mm-hmm. we've done that many, many times before. Mm-hmm. But what happens when something goes wrong? We are, unlike the generations that came after us, who grew up with computers, who grew up with technology, we're scared if we press that button, you know, what is the F5 button on your keyboard really going to do? We think we're going to bring down the entire internet. Satellites will fall from the, you know, the skies.
Right.
And we're terrified to do anything that will jeopardize the few things we actually know how to do.
It's so true. And, you know, I have a sister who's a bookkeeper, and she goes into all these businesses and she tries to help them. And they're so afraid. And she says, don't be afraid. You won't break it. It's only, and they're younger than us boomers. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid already that they don't know what they're doing and they don't know what to press. And, you know, they're falling apart. So we're actually ahead of them that way.
We are. The one thing that we are particularly bad at in terms of technology is passwords.
Yes.
We are. Passwords are really important. Mm-hmm. We keep being told that. You know, you need them. You need them for your cardiologist. You need mm-hmm. them for all those patient portals. You need them for your bank accounts. You need them for everything. And some of us have great difficulty creating passwords. When I first knew that I had to do passwords, I thought, okay, I'll use my name, you know, and that was, you know, it was something that I thought I would remember.
Right.
You know, even if I'm having difficulty, I will remember my name.
Right.
Other people decide that that's probably not a good idea. They use numbers. So, you know, they'll have a password, 1234567 89. Not a good idea.
No, and you have no idea how many people do that, or they use the word password.
Right. Even if the A in password is the at symbol, it still doesn't work. Key to a good password, use an umlaut. Unless, of course, the Apple Store is out of umlauts, and then, you know, then basically you're screwed.
We're never out of umlauts at this house because my husband was born in Germany, and so we've got plenty of them. His name is Wolfgang. So
plenty. You may be, if there is an umlaut shortage, we may, you know, reach out to you.
Okay, there you go.
Umlauts widely.
Yep, there you go. See? So what do you think makes a good retirement?
A good retirement really, first of all, includes money. Money is one of the key ingredients of a good retirement. Right. It is better to have money than to not have money. So one of the most prominent questions I get and others get about when to retire and how to retire is, when should you start saving for retirement? You're already too late. Everybody's already too late.
Too late.
But if you haven't started yet, start early. I recommend about 4:30 in the morning. That would be early.
Early. How about kindergarten? Maybe we should start in kindergarten.
We should have. We're already too late for
that. We're already too late.
Money is really important, but there are other things that are important. It's important to be socially engaged. Mm-hmm. So do things like online dating. Just don't tell your spouse. You know, it's also, you know, if you want to meet new friends, get a dog. And so people can come up to you and complain that your dog is relieving itself on their lawn. And you can have a really interesting conversation before you start screaming at each other.
Well, you might laugh, but having a dog is a real good way to meet people. Because I was walking a lot when I had cancer. I knew I had to exercise more. So I went to the park near my house and I would walk. But I was walking alone because we don't have a dog. But the people with dogs are always stopping and chatting and, you know, people would come up to them. Can I pet your dog? A dog is a fabulous way to meet people. It is.
It is. And particularly if you can get your dog to bite someone, it will be a particularly good entree into a new conversation. And, you know, you'll either have a friendship or a really good court case.
Yeah, one or the other.
One or the other.
And if you get a dog, make sure you train him and get him, you know, so that he's friendly. Because one of the biggest complaints is, I have a friend who walks her dog, and my daughter has one of her dogs is not friendly. So she has to always say to the people coming near her, my dog's not friendly. You know, don't get too close because he might jump on your dog. My dog's not. And they don't get it. They go, but my dog's friendly. And she goes, but my dog is not. Keep a distance.
Keep a distance. No, they don't get it. But
they don't.
But you know, having a pet is good. Mm-hmm. For retirement, it's also good to try to keep your brain functioning. Maybe take a class. You know, maybe take a calculus class. You won't understand it. That's fine. But neither will anyone else.
Right.
And many of the people in the class may be young, they may have purple hair, but they'll think of you as a mascot. So it's a really good thing, you know, that helps your brain and gives you more social contact.
And a little self-esteem, because now you're a mascot, right?
Right, absolutely. You get to wear a ram's head or a tiger's head.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. How about relationships? How did they add to the retirement?
It's important, and we were sort of talking about this, to have friends. You know, a lot of people, a lot of boomers worry that all their friends are moving to the villages in Florida, like some people.
like me.
Right. And so, you know, how do you make friends? You know, you could stand on the street corner and say, have a big billboard saying, I need friends. That will do. You know, we make friends through work generally. We make friends frequently with other parents of kids, our kids' ages. We no longer have that. People have spread all across the country.
Yep.
But we can stay in touch by using technology if we can figure out how to Zoom with people or Skype with them or FaceTime with them. I think it's incredible that not that long ago, my wife and I were in Greece and we were FaceTiming with our son 4,000 miles away. And then it occurred to us, that's actually, we're seeing him more than we do when we're in the States.
Isn't that amazing?
It's absolutely amazing. I was just a week ago, I was Zooming with a friend and he was in Australia and I'm in North Carolina. So we were about 10,000 miles away and it was Friday by him and it was Thursday by me.
I know.
That was just bizarre.
It is bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was wonderful. We could see each other perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this technology allows us to be in touch with all those people we really didn't like in high school.
Right. It's true. And you know what's funny? I have interviewed people all over the world for my podcast. I interviewed a man in Thailand, a woman in Japan, a man in Russia, a woman in Australia, several people from Canada, a couple people from Germany. I mean, I've interviewed people all over the world and it's great fun. I do have to adjust my time a lot of times. Like the man in Thailand, I had to record the podcast at 11 o'clock at night, which is a little bit late. You know, us boomers, we like to go to bed a little early. So that was kind of late, but I did it. So,
I mean, we do like to go for the early bird special, which keeps getting earlier. You know, it used to be at 5. Now it's at 4:30. It's soon going to be 4 as we get older.
That's true. That's so true. Oh, my gosh. So is there anything else you'd like to share with my Boomer Nation before we go?
Well, Boomer Nation, my book, Building a Better Boomer, is available wherever books are sold, your local bookstore or that big A that you have on your phone and computer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Boomer Nation and Children of Boomer Nation, you will enjoy the book, you'll learn a little, and you'll laugh a lot.
You will laugh a lot because I didn't read every page of the book, but wherever my eyes went, it was funny. I was laughing and I could see myself. So for boomers, it's fun. You can see yourself and laugh. For our children, maybe they'll understand us a little better. So maybe they should read it because they'll understand some of our quirks and our idiosyncrasies that maybe they don't really understand right now. So I think it's great for our children to have a copy of the book.
Well, you know, therefore you can buy 2 copies.
There you go. Absolutely. Yep. Here, read this. Pass it on to your sister when you're done.
Or have her buy one.
Absolutely. Yep. This is a book that you can freely give as a gift. We're coming up toward, we're not coming up to Christmas yet, but buy them a gift early.
Well, it's always good with boomers. You know, we got to do things in advance because we don't know how much longer we're going to be around.
Absolutely.
So, let's start buying our Christmas gifts, you know, soon.
That's right.
You know, you don't want to wait till the last day when, you know, everyone is on Amazon and it's moving very slowly.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So do you have a website or any other contact information you want to share?
Sure. You can write to me. Anybody can write to me at buildingabetterboomer@gmail.com. The website is Neil Offen. If you just key in that, it will come up. It has all sorts of letters at the end, but which I never remember. There's a bio and a lot of information on Amazon if you'll search my name or search the book title. And if you want to come visit me here in Chapel Hill, just don't come late and don't drive at night.
Exactly. And don't drive when I'm on the road, just in case you're one of those.
Right. Yeah. And if you do drive late at night, if you're having trouble sleeping and want to go for, remember, don't try to nap when you're merging.
Oh, that's very good advice. Very good advice.
Naps are important. I have a whole section, a whole chapter on naps in the book. They are very important. They are, unfortunately, they are difficult to do, but I give some good advice of how to do a nap. You should do it just when you wake up in the morning and then after the other naps.
Napping all day. What the heck?
Napping all day.
Sounds good. But not when you're merging. Not when you're driving.
Don't do it when you're merging.
No, right. No. Well, this has been so much fun. I've really enjoyed it. We had a lot of laughs and fun. And I hope that the audience is going to run out and buy the book, share it with all your friends, share it with your kids, buy extra copies, give them out, and everyone will have a good laugh and have fun. And laughing is also another key ingredient to staying healthy and staying happy. Laughter is so important. And there's not that many ways to laugh anymore. As a society, we're too serious.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad you brought that up, Terry. This is a difficult time in the world for a lot of people.
Yes.
In a lot of places. And it's a time where we could really use some laughter.
Yes.
One of the people who read an early version of the book is the New York Times best-selling author Mark Kurlansky. And I'll read what he said. He said, "This is the moment when we need a book that is this funny. It's a good time to maybe step back from all the problems in the world and all the problems we may have personally and to just laugh. Laughter is good."
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my sister's fighting cancer right now. And I keep telling her, get some funny books, watch some funny TV shows. Laughter is so important. It's stressful what she's going through, but if you can laugh through it, it will make life easier and more fun.
It is, as has been said many times before, the best medicine.
It's true, and I absolutely believe that. And belly laughter, if you can get that belly laugh going, it's even better.
It's better than Ozempic.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And Neil's book will make you belly laugh. You will start reading and you will start laughing. So this is medicine we all need. So buy the book and give it out to your friends because like I said, life is difficult right now, but we need to take time out and laugh. It will make you be able to digest everything better and feel better about life. We need to keep laughing through the bad times, correct?
Absolutely. We need to keep laughing through the bad times because that's how we get to the good times.
Absolutely. It's so true. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you for your gift of laughter and your book. I'm really happy that you wrote it. Thank you so much.
I'm really happy to be on this podcast with you, Terry. It's been a lot of fun. We can do it again whenever you're ready.
Okay. We might have to do it again in 6 months to remind people because we do forget. We are boomers.
We do forget. There is a chapter on forgetting.
There you go. There you go. So buy the book so you can read that.
Thanks so much, Terry.
You're welcome. Thanks, Neil.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Kick-Ass Boomers. For more information on today's guest, along with the show notes and other inspiring resources, buzz on over to kickassboomers.com. And don't forget to join our Kick-Ass community on Facebook or LinkedIn to continue the conversation. Be bold, not old.
Looking to take your podcast to the next level with video? Are you looking to develop a podcast but don't know where to start? From recording and editing to final distribution and marketing, we can help every step of the way to make your podcast stand out and get the results it deserves. Contact us today at premierpodcastpros.com to take your podcast to the next level.